Welcome to the Fantasy Sports Collective podcast. This is your host, J Dub. We are in draft week, just a couple days here before the annual fun, and we will get to see where everyone lands. I'm going to talk about the most interesting, most fruitful landing spots for some running backs, and I'll look at some receivers as well. And I will touch on at the start of the episode, I was at a party last night. It was with a agent who works at a fairly large sports agency, represents a bunch of NFL players, some coaches, and one of the trustees of a major Division I sports program, very competitive in really all sports. And actually, this particular person's trying to tackle and figure out the licensing, the NIL. And I won't divulge who they were, but I think it was some interesting tidbits I picked up and just gave me a little bit more sharpening in terms of how I think about what's happening in the landscape. So get to both of that on the flip side.
This is America. Don't catch you slipping now. Don't catch you slipping now. Look what I'm whipping now.
Okay. Let me start with the college landscapes. As I mentioned, I was at a party and just happened to run into a person I'd known a little bit, not very well, who has represented a bunch of NFL players. He currently represents NFL players, is now part of a much larger agency. They represent a ton of athletes across a bunch of spectrums. And what was interesting, one is, and this makes intuitive sense, but there is now a practice at these agencies to target top high school players and ultimately help shepherd them into the right NIL deals. The colleges are shifting their resources and budgets from high school kids to proven college talents. So you're seeing a lot more of the shift towards, yes, do I want a five-star or four-star guy to commit to my school? Of course, but I'm putting more emphasis on trying to flip the clearly five-star talent that we missed on in the recruiting process who may have ended up at a TCU or an Arizona State. And I'm talking about these schools that are kind of top schools, whether it's a Michigan, Ohio State, a Georgia, an Alabama, a Texas. I think these schools are shifting their resources as it makes sense, right? You've only got so much money and time. Why not go after, focus on guys who have already proven they can play at the next level versus going after a little bit more of lottery tickets, right? A five-star guy could just as easily bust. A five-star guy's been validated, so he's probably a little bit better than a three-star guy. But I've seen this time and time again where a lot of five-star guys are mediocre. Or they just don't fit the right system. So anyhow, point being is there's a focus now, even in the agency kind of business side of representing athletes down at the high school level. And then some discussion just on how the schools are thinking about this. And I do think from what I heard and what I'm hearing, what I've read and what we've talked about here on this pod, and I talked about it with the guest Crotch a few months back, it does feel like there is a weeding out happening. I think some people think it will be 30 teams or 35 teams broken up into two conferences. I heard yesterday the idea that it'd be like 230 team conferences. So think AFC, NFC, could be the Big Ten, SEC, but they'll end up being 30-ish teams. And then there'll be the better teams in those conferences and the lower level teams. And essentially they'll have their own playoff. And then the championship game would be those two conferences facing off against each other, which I thought was interesting. And then clearly there's a debate going on as whether football is a collegiate sport or not, whether it stays under the Title IX provisions in terms of scholarships. There's a lot of factors that go into this, by the way. A lot of money is spent, a lot of equality for women's sports would be dramatically impacted if football was not considered a collegiate sport and it moved out of that realm. I think financially though, and also some of the stuff they're doing around whether an athlete is an employee and then all the liabilities to go with that or not, are considerations that are definitely happening at the board of trustees level, and they're trying to figure out how they approach this. So a lot of balls being juggled. I thought it was as interesting though, in terms of the targeting high school athletes, trying to get more transparency and control of the NIL deals and the portal itself. So a lot going on there. And it sounds to me, based on just things I'm hearing, it's going to be settled way faster than I think some people think. I think there's a lot more turmoil to go through at the conference level and specifically in the football Division I, but also potentially the consequences are going to be far reaching to all college athletic programs, given that football funds so much of them, both indirectly, just because they generate a lot for the athletic department, but directly with Title IX. People forget, if you've got 88 scholarships on men's football, you have to have equivalent 88 scholarships for all the women's sports as well. It's got to be one for one. You take away football and you peel it out of the program, it's a big shock to female sports. Okay, on to the core topic at hand, which is just looking at, hey, what are the best running back situations that we want players to fall into? I'm not going to talk about specific players. I talked a little bit about where I thought the mock draft would happen in last episode. We're going to have our answer by the end of this week. So the idea here is just highlight the teams to be looking for and get excited if they do take a running back early, and then I'll look at receiver as well. I look at nowadays, there's no longer this, I'm going to have one running back who's going to get the majority of my touches and I'll have some backups. It truly is committee, even with the best teams. I think even the 49ers, who really relied on Christian McCaffrey, they were giving touches to other guys. And that's the most extreme example. Most teams basically are using two, sometimes even three guys. So we're no longer in this place where it's like, oh, hey, they don't have a starter, so whoever they draft is going to be the starter. I think with the exception of maybe the Dallas Cowboys, I don't think there's a single situation this year where whoever they draft is likely the starter. So I'll get into that, but I just want to call that out. It's a little bit different than in 10 years ago. I think teams don't feel like the need that I have to have one guy I'm going to rely on. So here's the top needs. These are the two teams I've got who need a back. I already mentioned the Cowboys, their leading rusher left for the Titans, and they need a true feature back, or at least a talent to be competent and really help support their passing game. And what I mean by that is they don't necessarily need a pure passing back, but they need someone who's going to keep the defense honest so they can move the ball, move the chains, and they're just not going to constantly force them to run the ball against them. So they need a threat here, keep the defense out of nickel and dime most of the situations there. So I think the Cowboys are a very attractive fantasy landing spot. I would be surprised if they didn't take a running back in the second round, and very surprised if they didn't take one at least by the end of day two. Again, the Cowboys is a great landing spot and probably one of the teams that takes a running back first. The next I've got is the Raiders. In my opinion, they need a starter. I like Samir White. I had him in my college fantasy league. I've been watching for a long time, but they need someone to compete with him, and they need depth at the very least. So those are the two teams I think whoever they take, they're going to be interesting fantasy options immediately. Who's got significant need here, but they're not going to be immediate starters? I would say first team I'll call is the Los Angeles Chargers. Actually, they probably fall into the top needs. I really like Gus Edwards. He's underrated. However, Jim Harbaugh and Greg Roman is an offensive coordinator. They'll want to run the ball at least 50% of the time. And that means there'll be touches for at least two productive fantasy backs. And their depth chart's fairly weak right now. It's a little bit thin. I think they've selected some guys in past years, but they just haven't showed up, whether it was Spiller, a few other players there, Jackson. So they've got some guys that I guess we've liked, but not really shown much. So I think that they're definitely someone who's, especially if the Chargers trade back from five, pick up picks, I could see them selecting someone in third round, maybe even like a Blake Corum to really be a nice complement or a backup committee guy to Gus Edwards. So I got them up there, and I think they're probably close to the Raiders in terms of interest and kind of fantasy opportunity immediately. And then I would say the next three teams are really, they're interesting, but they're someone who the player could ascend, but they certainly need depth. And that's the Arizona Cardinals. They've got James Conner. He's a solid starter. He's getting older. He's been injury prone, and they need some depth there. They really don't have a lot behind him. Denver Broncos, they've got options. Obviously, fantasy pundits will probably be all over me about Javonte Williams and how great he is. But look, he's just not shown that he's got that workhorse explosive ability, both in terms of his durability and also his explosiveness. He just hasn't been the player that we all thought he would be coming out of UNC. So they could use another player there. There's someone who's probably going to be looking more like sixth, seventh round because they lack picks and they've got a lot of needs. But I would love to see some of these talented guys that are going to fall end up with the Broncos. Like I could see a Frank Gore Jr., for example, could be really interesting there as a kind of ground and pound guy next to Williams. So you got the Broncos, and now I got the New York Giants. I really like Devin Singletary. I think he's underrated, but they're going to be looking for some depth there. They're going to be looking for someone who can challenge Singletary, potentially be the starter down the road. They're just going to be looking to fill out their room. And then lastly, a team I've got that I think nobody's thinking about, but I want to highlight them, is the Los Angeles Rams. I love Kyren Williams. He was great at Notre Dame. He was a great story in 2023, but he's not a bell cow. He's been injury prone. I think he's more of a change of pace type of guy. Give it a look at his size, whatnot. So I think I could see them bringing in someone who's either a great passing back or someone who's going to be more of a pound type guy, like in between the tackles, kind of play within their style, keep the defense honest. I wouldn't be shocked if someone like a Blake Corum ended up here. So that's my list on the running back side. I think obviously a bunch of other teams are going to select running backs, not to say there are going to be other good spots where there's touches to be had. Those are the ones I've got. On the receiver front, these are the teams, again, receivers, a little different situation in that most of these teams have receivers. So it's not like the Cowboys where you're like, hey, they really have got a wide open situation here. But these are teams that really lack a playmaker, and a guy drafted early and high likely is going to get a ton of looks and a ton of targets, could be pushing 120, 130 in terms of targets and immediately be fantasy relevant. So those teams I've got, not necessarily any particular order, but I've got the Jaguars, the New York Giants, the Los Angeles Chargers, and the Buffalo Bills. Those are the ones that are the most clearly in need. Jaguars are pretty deep. They've got Evan Ingram at tight end. They've got Christian Kirk. They've got Gabriel Davis. They've got guys that they can throw to, but I think Trevor Lawrence still needs his true number one, right? He needs a Jamar Chase, a Justin Jefferson, Stephon Diggs, someone that he can go to and be confident that can make plays and really elevate the offense. So wouldn't be surprised to see them select a receiver in those team plays. And I think they pick 17. So 17 or even trade down a little bit and take someone like a Brian Thomas Jr. or Donald Mitchell, maybe Xavier Worthy, a player, someone of that ilk who can really help complement what they've got there. New York Giants are desperate for a true playmaker on the outside. They haven't had anybody since Plaxico Burress, or I guess Odell Beckham, I should say. But they've missed a player there for the last 5-6 years. And quite frankly, it's a bunch of spare parts right now. So they really need a playmaker. I think it's highly likely they take someone in at the sixth pick, and that person's going to have pretty good fantasy value. That I don't love, as I mentioned on the pod last week for the mock draft, I don't love Daniel Jones and just the Giants situation for a guy like Malik Nabers or any of the top players. Chargers, look, they lost Mike Williams, and Keenan Allen. They did spend a first-round pick last year on Quentin Johnson. He didn't look amazing. Year two, very solid potential. I think they're going to wait until round two or round three. I just don't think Harbaugh values this. He's got his quarterback. He'll get productivity out of his receiver. You're not going to get high-end wide receiver one productivity out of a Harbaugh coach team, but you're going to get some wide receiver twos. And I think actually people are going to sleep on the Chargers this year. So Quentin Johnson's an interesting player, but whoever they take in the second or third round, he's probably someone who may even have first round type talent because the wide receiver sort of depth is so good this year. I really like that potential situation. And then the Bills, look, the GM and head coach are coming out and saying, we don't really need a quarterback or a wide receiver. We're good with the people we've got. But when you lose your top two guys in Stephon Diggs and Gabe Davis, I'm sorry. Allen needs a difference maker. I'd love to see a Donald Mitchell or a Brian Thomas Jr. land here, someone who's got dog alpha ability in their repertoire. Who are the other teams? Colts, they could use a second guy and got a young kind of hole there. Carolina Panthers, unfortunately, don't have a first-round pick because of the Bryce Young trade last year. They just need players. They need a playmaker. So I could see them taking someone with that first pick in the second round, maybe even trading down a little bit, taking a guy in the first round and mid-second round. And that player definitely will have some fantasy value. The Bears have a really good receiving room now after trading for Keenan Allen and picking up DJ Moore last year. But they don't have that difference maker to pair with Caleb Williams for him to grow into. DJ Moore is still in the sort of like mid to second half of his career. So he's still young, still productive. Keenan Allen, though, is at the end, right? I think he's 33, maybe. Yeah, I think he'll be 33 next year. So very good. I like Cole Clement there. But if they could get someone like an Adunzu or someone of that ilk, definitely would help them. And then those are the teams I would call out as hands down, great spot. Oh, I missed, sorry. is Arizona Cardinals. That's the one that probably they're going to end up taking Marvin Harrison or maybe Malik Nabers. There's some rumors there. And that player walks into 120, 130 targets. The only other receiving threat on that roster right now is a tight end in Trey McBride. So lots of opportunity and a decent quarterback. Kyler Murray, say what you want, but he's at least productive. He's got a good arm. I like him better as a landing spot than Daniel Jones and many others, even the Bryce Young situation, maybe even Anthony Richardson, quite frankly, just because there's some competition there. I think whoever goes to Justin Herbert and whoever lands with Josh Allen, those guys have really high-end potential, though, and both in terms of they're landing with a great quarterback, but they're also landing in situations where there's a lot of target opportunities. So on that note, I'm excited for the draft in a couple days. Here's to a really fruitful first round of quarterbacks, wide receivers, and then awesome day two with, I'd love to see three or four running backs go off the, maybe even five running backs go off the board in the second and third round and finish off some of those wide receivers that we love that quite frankly, I think are first round talent. So I'm really excited to see how it shakes out and I'll be back in a week to have a conversation about what those landing spots meant, what I liked about the draft, some of the spots maybe I'm disappointed with and just pontificate on what happened. So on that note, take care. Hope everyone has a great day and week. Bye-bye.
Before we leave, let me tell y'all a little something. Uptown, funk you up. Uptown, funk you up. Uptown, funk you up. Uptown, funk you up. I said, Uptown.